The epistle appointed for the feast of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's taken from the Old Testament book of Proverbs, chapter 8. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before he made anything from the beginning. I was set up from eternity, and of old before the earth was made. The depths were not as yet, and I was already conceived. Neither had the fountains of waters as yet sprung out. The mountains with their huge bulk had not as yet been established. Before the hills I was brought forth. He had not yet made the earth, nor the rivers, nor the poles of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was present. When with a certain law and compass he enclosed the depths, when he established the sky above, and poised the fountains of waters, when he compassed the sea with its bounds, and set a law to the waters, that they should not pass their limits, when he balanced the foundations of the earth, I was with him, forming all things, and was delighted every day, playing before him at all times, playing in the world. And my delights were to be with the children of men. Now therefore, ye children, hear me. Blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, and that watcheth daily at my gates, and waiteth at the posts of my doors. He that shall find me shall find life, and shall have salvation from the Lord. And the Gospel appointed for the Mass. Taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1. At that time the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel being come in said unto her, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Because he hath regarded the humility of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. These words are taken from the Magnificat, the inspired canticle of Our Lady. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A number of years ago now, there lived a young boy. Young boy who was raised as a Protestant. By the time he was 6 years old, he knew all of the other boys his age in his neighborhood, where children loved to play, to have a lot of friends. Well, it so happened that among his friends, there were some Catholics. And so this Protestant boy often heard his Catholic companions praying the Hail Mary. He liked the prayer. In fact, he liked it so much that he copied it. He soon had it memorized, and he began to recite it every day. He said to his mother one day, Look, Mommy, what a beautiful prayer. Imagine her surprise when her good little Protestant boy recited the Hail Mary for her, a prayer which is distinctly and only Catholic. Never say it again, she told him. It is a superstitious prayer of Catholics who adore idols and think Mary a goddess. After all, she is a woman like any other. Come, take this Bible, she told him, and read it. It contains everything that we are bound to do and must do. And so from that day on, this good little boy, obeying his mother as an obedient boy would, trusted her. He stopped saying the Hail Mary, and instead he spent more time reading the Bible. And one day, in reading the Gospel, he came across the passage of the Annunciation. Full of joy, he ran to his mother and said to her, Mommy, I have found the Hail Mary in the Bible. And then he read it to her. He read the words of the angel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary. Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Why do you call it a superstitious prayer? He asked her. On another occasion, he found the inspired greeting of St. Elizabeth in the Canticle Magnificat, which foretold that all generations would call the Virgin Mary blessed. The boy then realized that this was a prophecy of the Holy Ghost, for he knew that every word of Scripture was inspired by God. So he said no more about it to his mother, and he began to recite again the Hail Mary every day as he did before. It gave him great joy to address those charming words to the mother of Jesus. And one day when he was 14, the members of his family had a discussion about Our Lady. Each one of them agreed that Mary was a common woman, like any other. Now, the boy in our story, he listened quietly for some time, but at last he could bear no longer their false reasoning. And full of indignation, he interrupted them, saying, "Mary is not like any other child of Adam, stained with sin. No, the angel called her full of grace and blessed amongst women. Mary is the mother of Jesus Christ, and consequently the mother of God. There is no higher dignity to which a creature can be called," this 14-year-old boy went on. "The gospel says that all generations will call her blessed." And he told them, "You are trying to despise her and look down on her. Your spirit is not the spirit of the gospel or of the Bible, which you proclaim to be the foundation of the Christian religion." His family stared at him in shocked silence. And of course, what he was saying was perfectly true and couldn't be debated. The young man's words made such a deep impression that his mother many times cried out sorrowfully, "O God, I fear that this son of mine will one day join the Catholic religion, the religion of popes." And indeed, not long afterwards, the boy made a serious study of both Protestantism and Catholicism. He became convinced that the Catholic religion was the only true religion. He embraced the Catholic faith, and he became one of its most ardent apostles. But, dear faithful, the gospel passage of today's Mass takes us back to the most dramatic event in human history, in fact, in the entire history of the world. Since the time of Adam, men had longed and sighed for the promised Redeemer. After 4,000 years, the time had at last come. God was prepared to send his Son into the world. But in order to redeem men, God wanted the cooperation of men. Although he had filled Mary's soul with every grace and prepared her spiritually to be his mother, he would first ask her permission. So God sent the angel Gabriel to ask her consent. The angel came to Nazareth, to the home of Mary and Joseph. He appeared to the Virgin Mary and greeted her. "Hail, full of grace," he said, "the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." These words of the angel are the highest praise that God has ever paid to any human being. The Protestant boy in our story, when he read these words, realized that Mary could not be a sinner as the rest of men. She had to be special, to be called full of grace. And as Catholics, we know that she was indeed full of grace from the first moment of her conception. And this is what we mean by the Immaculate Conception. And thus, on December 8th, the year 1854, Pope Pius IX defined the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. He infallibly declared that the Blessed Virgin Mary was preserved free from all stain of original sin from the first instant of her conception by a singular privilege of Almighty God. Her soul was always immaculately pure, the delight of the Holy Trinity. You see, God poured into her pure soul a boundless ocean of graces, giving her a beauty and a dignity beyond anything we can imagine. Some of the saints have even stated that at that first instant of her conception, the level of grace in her soul was so great that it surpassed the grace that was enjoyed by all of the angels combined. And that God continually increased that grace in her soul as she cooperated perfectly with every actual grace that God gave. And so even though she was unfathomably pure and full of grace at the first instant of her conception, she became almost quasi-infinitely more filled with grace. as she grew older. God poured into her soul this boundless ocean of grace, giving her a dignity beyond anything we can imagine. God then gazed into her pure soul, and God was filled with delight, for he saw there a spotless reflection of his own great beauty and perfection. God loved the Virgin Mary, and he was attracted to her. When he sent the angel Gabriel, God praised her through the angel Gabriel. For that wasn't just the angel speaking. That was God's message that the angel was speaking. Those were the words of God which the angel spoke. And we renew that same honor and praise each time we say the Hail Mary prayer. My dear people, the Hail Mary is truly a divine prayer. The opening words come from God himself. It was addressed to the Mother of God. It was first spoken by an angel. It is impossible for us to overestimate the beauty, the value, and the power of the Hail Mary. Only in heaven will we realize its full beauty. It recalls the incarnation, and it recalls the beauty and charm of a God who becomes an infant for love of us. The value of the Hail Mary is due first to Our Lady, to whom it was addressed, secondly to its purpose, the incarnation of the Word of God, and thirdly to the Archangel Gabriel, the first ever to say it. It is often called, because of the angel, it's called the angelic salutation, the greeting of the angel. Concerning its power, history itself shows how pleasing it is to our Lord and our Lady. It has worked countless miracles, this simple prayer. It has obtained thousands of miraculous favors from heaven. Indeed, all those who trust in Mary and address her with this prayer receive the grace and strength which they need. The Hail Mary is a short summary of all that Catholic theology teaches about the Blessed Virgin. It is divided into two parts, praise and petition. The first describes Mary's greatness, and the second, all that we need to ask from her. The first part was divinely revealed. The angel Gabriel brought God's message. He said to Mary, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." St. Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Ghost, said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." The Holy Mother Church gave us the conclusion in the year 430 when she condemned the Nestorian heresy at the Council of Ephesus and declared that the Blessed Virgin Mary is truly the Mother of God. At the time when it was fact was being disputed by heretics who denied that she was the Mother of God. So the Council of Ephesus declared infallibly that she was, in fact, truly the Mother of God. At that time, the Church ordered us to pray to Our Lady under this glorious title by saying, "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death." Catholics, therefore, have been praying the Hail Mary, as we know it, for 1,600 years. By the angelic salutation, we honor Our Lady. We say, "Blessed art thou among women." We honor Christ. We say, "Blessed is the fruit of thy womb." St. Louis de Montfort says that the Hail Mary is a means of thanking the Blessed Trinity, for it recalls the incarnation and redemption, for the Hail Mary introduced and began these mysteries. In this prayer, we praise God the Father because he so loved the world that he sent his only Son as our Savior. And when we say that prayer, we think of that event, and we show gratitude to God for sending his Son. We thank the Son for his mercy and compassion. He had such pity upon us in our fallen state that he left heaven. He came down upon earth. He became a man. He suffered and died to redeem us. We glorify the Holy Ghost because he formed our Lord's pure body in Mary's holy womb. And thus we should always say the Hail Mary in a spirit of deep thankfulness, making acts of faith, hope, love and thanksgiving for the priceless gift of salvation. And we can do all of this simply by saying the Hail Mary with devotion and recollection. We pray the Hail Mary 50 times a day when we say our rosary. Many graces have been granted through the rosary. Throughout the centuries, Our Lady has repeatedly urged this prayer. She did so at Lourdes and Fatima in recent years. We should view her message as a message coming from God. When she repeatedly beseeches us to say the rosary, we should regard this as a command of God, a duty which is bound up with the salvation of our soul. I personally believe that the rosary is so important in these times that it will be the deciding factor in determining whether we save our soul. My dear faithful, I encourage you to renew your devotion to Jesus and Mary, especially at this time of year, the Holy Advent season. Do so by trying to say the Hail Mary more perfectly each day. Let this be your apostolate, your means of making reparation to your dearest mother, your means of helping her to save souls, beginning with your own. A holy man once said that if you want to gain the riches of grace and glory, salute the Blessed Virgin, honor your good mother. St. Louis de Montfort said that those who honor her may expect such great things from her generosity. So you may be sure that Our Lady will bless you for blessing her. I conclude then with the words of St. Louis de Montfort, who says, those who persevere in loving the Hail Mary and praying it faithfully and devoutly will save their souls. Again, those who persevere in saying the Hail Mary and praying it faithfully and devoutly will save their souls. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.